46th anniversary, dude.
That was yesterday.
No, no.
No, it's the 19th, isn't it? Or is it 20th?
It's the 20th today.
Is it today?
Yeah. We're recording. The biggest hoax ever
went down this day. Famous natural history film of all time. Yeah, October 20th. You're right. It is today. I did a search for it because I saw it on the internet and somebody said the 19th and they were clearly wrong. It's the 20th.
Well, that is if it's actually a Sasquatch, then we can believe that. But if it is a hoax, it is possible it was taped on or filmed on a different day and then they got their
whatever. Story. It's the biggest film in our little screwed up world of.
And I don't know if any of our listeners know. I mean, I did mention I do think it's probably a hoax.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But I just want to reiterate.
I'm not sure we've ever talked about it.
No. But if it is, it is a really good hoax. I do grant that.
Yes. If it is, it's stellar.
Yeah.
Obviously, then, we are recording on October the 20th, 2013. That is today's date.
Yep.
This is episode number 47. No, 57.
It's 50. Yes.
Shut up. Really? 57?
God.
No.
How many downloads have we had up to this total? Of the show.
Almost 100 now.
Wow, that is awesome. I should just keep telling my grandma to keep pushing that button. Telling her,
just load it up, delete it, do it again. Just keep going.
I'm on 82, honey.
No, this is 56.
56.
This is episode 56. I didn't think it was 57.
You're off by a number on everything. You said the 19th, which
I know.
And then 56.
Yeah. I still haven't recovered from the other night, that's all.
Okay. Oh, the Dodger game?
No, we're not talking about it, though.
Yeah, that's finally something we agree actually on a lot.
We agree on a lot of things. We do.
We do. We only
not ETF. When we get on this show, we don't agree. But the rest of the life, we do. Yeah,
That was pretty. It was pretty pathetic for any other Dodger fans. It was.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was like everything. It was like the Dodgers played poorly, the Cards played well, and the breaks, almost all of them went like. A lot of seeing eye singles that just got into the – I mean, like four or five of those for the Cards, like zero for the Dodgers. They hit some line drives. They'd go right at players. It was just – one could maybe chalk it up. It was just not their night.
No, it wasn't. It was a bad night. And I think, you know, Kershaw gave up like as many runs as he gave up in half the season or something, right?
And he started strong. He looked great in the first inning. I thought, this bodes well. But there's something about when they go back home, they're going to be much more relaxed. They know they've got another game. I think that's happened a lot in series like that. You know, if you're up, you go. It seems to be the case that a lot of the times the home team just kicks ass and then takes it in the sixth. Let's go to the clip.
No, I don't want any clips of that. I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking about next year. That's what you do, right?
Well, they're probably going to be pretty. So you think Mattingly will still be around?
I don't know. I know this is we get a lot of criticism from our listeners that we don't talk about Bigfoot enough in the show. But you know what? This is my show, so I'll talk about what I want. I'm not sure Mattingly will be around. I don't think it's clear. You know, I think he's not a bad manager, but I think he made a lot of weird choices. You know, and
kind of goes for the gusto and everything. Sometimes I think he overmanages a little bit, but
and then he says stupid shit. He says that, like, you know, we're America's team. No, you're not. You're the Dodgers. You're never going to be the America's team.
Wow. He did say that.
He did. He said that we're America's team. People, even fans in St. Louis, are hoping this goes to seven. No, there's not one soul in St. Louis that wanted that series to go to seven.
Oh, you know what, dude? I thought he was kind of joking. That's when I did that Facebook post about that.
Everything I read about it. Oh, I didn't hear him say it. I read it.
And I thought there was a little bit of humor in it.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? But I think he'll be back.
Maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was just drunk.
Yeah. Well, that could explain some of the decisions in the later innings.
So. Dusty Baker is a good friend of Magic Johnson's. That's all I know.
You know, pardon me, and I swear this will be 30 more seconds, folks, and we'll get off the Dodgers series. So does Magic Johnson co-own the Dodgers?
He owns a little piece of it. Yeah, he's like the front man. He's the front man. So he's actually, you know, it's a consortium of people. It's mostly owned by investment bankers in Chicago, but he's the front guy. He owns like a small percentage.
That's why he's at the game so much.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah. So he's basically an owner, but not the owner. A lot of people think he's the owner of the Dodgers, and he's not. He only owns a tiny piece of it.
I would want Magic Johnson to own a piece of my team. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's fire that manager.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
We're talking about Bigfoot on this show.
We are. For once.
What are we in? We're only like, I don't know, 10 minutes in. No, 6 minutes. 6 minutes in. We're talking about Bigfoot. Well, we talked about the PGF at the beginning. We're going to celebrate. Yeah. We're going to acknowledge the anniversary of the PGF film flying sure. by 46 years.
It's it is still such an amazing mystery. It is, you know, and again, reiterating again, I do believe it's a hoax, but there's still, it's one of those things. I think whatever side of the argument you're on in this, it's so fascinating because you're like, yes, and then, oh, but what about that? You know, with like all the circumstantial stuff, which is the big reason I believe it's all the stuff behind the scenes of the film leads me, and the indentation leads me to think it's probably a hoax. There's still so many things in the film that are really cool. The calf, the back, the spine, you know. Yeah. So
did you know we're running a poll on our website right now?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times did you have Grandma vote for?
Well, it's set. You can only vote once.
Yeah.
So right now, the question is, the Patterson-Gimlin film is, and you have five choices, definitely real, probably fake, definitely fake, and good God, people, it's been 45 years, move on. It's actually been 46 years now. Leading the pack is definitely real. Hardly surprising that the Bigfoot show, 44% of people who listen to it, who go to our site anyway, think that it's real.
Yeah, we acknowledge we have a lot of idiots listening to the show. but we love you.
Definitely fake is losing to good God people. It's been forever. Move on. So
wait a minute. Hold on. I just looked at that.
Yeah, definitely fake is losing to.
Oh, definitely.
Probably fake. Probably fake is five points ahead of good God people. But probably real and definitely real are swamping it, man. That's like 65%, 66%.
I would say this. I would say anybody who votes either definitely real or definitely fake is an idiot. because you weren't there, dude. And there's too much evidence on both sides to, you know.
So you're applying applying the tenets of skepticism when you say that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, that is a great segue. Was that a segue?
That was. I'm just trying to grab the PGF, man.
you just lobbed that up, and now it's back to you, Brian.
No, our last episode, show 55, only a week ago. It was just last weekend. We had Sharon Hill on. I don't suppose you heard the show, did you?
I didn't, dude. But you said she sounded hot. I wanted to be there.
She's very smart. She's obviously very...
Yeah, no, she seems really cool. And we're now Facebook friends, well, as of this...
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I sent her a, I'm a Facebook friend whore. Basically.
Yeah, you are. How many... You have like 600 friends or something.
2,700.
Good God. Do you really?
Yeah, well, dude, I did TV for a while. I got people like from... Well, and all the long-distance hiking films and Bigfoot stuff and from tech TV days and even Walt Disney when I did that Walt Disney show.
Walt Disney's your friend?
No, dude, I hosted a show on the Disney Channel. You know.
Oh, I thought Walt Remember Disney that? Was your friend on... yeah, it was like a
yes, travel. I'm a Nazi, what is what I'm saying.
What was the show? I remember it was some kind of...
It was a behind-the-scenes at Walt Disney. It's called Walt Disney World Inside Out.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, it was created... You know why that show was basically created? Because it was at that time...
To get people to go to Walt Disney World. Clearly.
Yeah, but you know why? Why did they feel they needed that show? Was because it was when these German tourists were being... robbed at gunpoint. It was this case. There were several cases where these guys were. It would have the placard on the license plate that said I rented from Enterprise. So these thieves knows these guys were out of town. I guess they targeted Germans, and so that became a big story around the world. And attendance dropped, and so they wanted a show to promote the show and the kind of show behind the scenes, like how does the Haunted Mansion work, shit like that. And I did that for a year, and it was wow. Working for Disney, what a joy that was!
You had a co-host, didn't you?
No, it was just me. And then they kept the show. They fired the production company and me because they wanted it to be more of an infomercial. We were probably the most sarcastic show ever in the history,
the Disney pantheon.
Yeah, we were mocking the whole thing.
They don't like sarcasm that much.
No, it's got to be with a big fakey smile, and I'm not usually pretty good at that. So, but it was fun, and I'm grateful that they gave me the opportunity. Let's go to a clip.
I got no clip for that either.
Okay. All right.
You got to warn me.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I can dig some of that up on the YouTube.
There are clips, seriously. All right. All right. Walt Disney World Inside Out. And
So that's why you have 2,700 friends.
Yeah. Well, that's one reason. Yeah.
That's one reason.
And I actually go trolling for friends. People I don't know. Hey, would you mind being my friend?
No. I look like a nice guy, don't I?
Come on.
I'm friends with his other friend, so clearly you should be my friend.
I believe in Bigfoot, and I hosted a show on the Disney Channel. Click.
How many other people can say that?
Fortunately, not many. Yeah, I don't know. Actually, you know, George Foreman took over the show the following year.
He did?
They just made it the big infomercial.
Foreman?
Dude, it was horrible. It was.
You were replaced by George Foreman.
Yes, I was. That's awesome. You know the irony? George Foreman and I, same birthday.
Get out.
Swear to God, January 22nd.
Wow.
Yeah, true story.
Right.
They just wanted it to be more directly, and it became just a pure out infomercial. That's our show, folks.
We're doing everything we can not to talk about Bigfoot on the show.
No, it's actually, didn't somebody, if you look at those, somebody actually asked, they go, what you put the thing up, like, what should we talk about on the show? And like, the third one is random tangents. I'm just fulfilling the guy's wishes.
My favorite is when they say Bigfoot. You should talk about Bigfoot on the Bigfoot show. Really? That sounds really, that's just what everyone expects us to do.
Yeah. See, that's being just a, not, that's not being artistic. That's just doing the same old
I think what
shit.
We'll do is we'll pull up the questions. But yeah, so the last show, and then there was a blog post because Sharon said some things on the show, and I know you had expressed an interest in talking about that.
Well, I just wanted to a point that we've talked about on the show before that Sharon, again, having not listened to it, but you quoted her. It was a great blog, by the way. Great job on it. Really good, nice, pretty graphs. Everything was
anything off the internet, man.
Yeah. In depth. You know, it's really good. And that is the notion when you hear those on the scientific and or skeptical side who just completely want to ignore anecdotal evidence. Yeah. It is evidence. You put it, you just said it. Anecdotal is evidence.
Right.
It is. Granted, it is the weakest form, but evidence nonetheless.
Right.
So for those, I think, you know, when it comes down to psychologically, people who don't, they just don't trust people. They have a lot of trust issues with the, well, I don't care if 20,000 people said something like that. Until there's physical evidence directly in front of me, I'm not going to give it any weight whatsoever. Yeah. And it's just, it's silly. And more importantly, to what we're talking about, it's not scientific. Anecdotal evidence is used all the time in the scientific process.
Well, yeah.
How do you know, you hear story generally, especially with higher primates, you hear stories, blah, 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 blah. Then hopefully then some idiot kills one, then they have terrible conscience pangs the rest of their lives instead of they could attract. Anyway, that's another topic.
But what they did for science is so noteworthy and exceptional. I think that there's sort of two things. There's people out there. And so, you know, after Sharon did the show, I sort of like dipped my toe into sort of the skeptical side of things and I sort of like I joined that Monster Talk group on Facebook and I sort of engaged a little bit there and nothing has really changed. And this is what bothers me is, you know, there's people like Sharon who I think are reasonable. I think are sort of like, you know, David Mizuzuski we had on the show. He was also a reasonable person in the middle.
Yeah.
My problem is these guys who have already made up their mind and they use quote unquote skepticism as a club to basically beat you into submission with just to show you how true their side of things are, how you couldn't possibly, you know, because they've already decided, right? And we know all these things in the world. There's a dude on there who was going on about how there's no place the Texas is completely overrun with people. There's no place for animals to live, which is, I mean, I'm sorry, pardon my French.
There.
That's fucking bullshit. There's plenty of places for these things to live in Texas.
Yeah, I bet you dollars to donuts that whatever that means that
I like
the guy's never been out in the woods. He's probably from a big city.
Well, and it's one of these things where he says he has, right? He says he's been into the most remote places of Texas, but
who is he? Lauren Coleman?
I'm not sure about it. He calls them remote, and then in the next sentence he says that there's people everywhere. I don't really understand that. But and then all you can do is say to a guy like this, like, well, you're just wrong. I mean, how can I? You're just wrong. I don't know even how to respond to that.
You know what it reminds me of, and it's I would consider myself, you know, in a metaphysical sense, like largely agnostic. I have leanings toward theism, but you know, there's a reason they're philosophical questions. And recently, there's been a huge. It's either been a fad or a wave that atheism is quite popular the last, let's say, 10 years or so.
All the cool kids are atheists now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to be, you know. And I'm a huge fan of Bill Maher. I love his show. But at times what he becomes is essentially a fundamentalist atheist. It's like he's just taking the same type of hardline,
absolutely,
like a Bible thumper does. And what's right here in the Bible?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that exists in the Bigfoot world too. It's like the fundamentalist skeptic or the fundamentalist skeptic. They just, And they, you know, it's almost like they want some kind of group identification. And this goes to both sides, also believers, you know, in Bigfoot, you know, and they just aren't comfortable. They either A, they want to be part of a group, or B, they're not comfortable. We talked about this before, with not knowing something, and that it's okay that you don't know for sure.
Well, and that
it's okay.
And that's the other side of it. Besides the fact that most of them have already made up their minds. Well, I'm not going to say most of them. A lot of the ones who are talking on Facebook today have already made up their minds. And anybody who doesn't understand how totally obvious it is that these things are fake is kind of stupid. I mean, there's also very much of a condescending kind of tone to everything.
Well, it's also it's intellectual insecurity. They feel, you know, it's like Dennis Miller at his worst. He's had a lot of great stuff, but he feels he's got to throw you know $1 million words in in fact, the best line was David Spade, old buddy of mine, just dropping a name there. He used to say he was going to go on Miller's show, and after he made some comment with like four big words in it, he goes, "Dennis, why do I get the feeling when you were a kid somebody called you a dummy?" You know, it's like I have to show I'm smart, I have to take all these, you know, faddish things. So I don't know.
So it's this feeling that maybe you're clearly right and everyone else is wrong. That isn't being a skeptic at all. This idea that, you know, honestly, everything has been discovered. There's really nothing left to discover.
Yeah.
And they don't ever come out and say it that way. But if if there is no mystery left in the world, which is essentially what they're saying, there cannot be things like wood apes or Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Yeah. There cannot be, and I'm not defending these things, there cannot be ghosts. I have no idea if there's ghosts. You know, here's the way I was thinking about this morning while I was on the treadmill. The way I think about, well, you got to think about something on the damn
thing. Yeah,
I think about ghosts the way I wish, quote unquote, skeptics would think about Bigfoot, in that I have a passing interest in them. I know enough to know that there is some phenomena that needs to be explained, but I don't know enough to be able to say that I believe they're real or they're not. All I know is that things happen, and to my mind, it has not been answered conclusively one way or the other that the evidence being produced is bullshit or that there's actually something there. That's all I ask. You know, if you approach the subject with that attitude, then we're going to be good. I don't care if you believe any story I ever tell. I don't believe if you believe in the PGF movie. I don't believe any of that crap. As long as you can say there may be something to this, that's enough.
Sure.
But if you say that it can't be, then you're not a skeptic. I'm sorry. You're just not.
Yeah. And more importantly, or perhaps more importantly, the fact is, you're also being very scientific. The good scientists are the one that say, look, I've looked at the evidence. I think it's my feeling, or based on that, probably not. But any scientist worth his or her salt never makes a definitive statement about something not existing. I mean, unless it's something that can conclusively be proven, like, no, you know, objects fall at this certain rate, and then you do the experiments over and over, no, it falls at this rate, and they still don't, then they obviously, you know, have some mental block. But I was going to say something about, I think one of the reasons, we may have talked about this on another show, I think that whole argument of, well, everything's been discovered on Earth, and especially when they think of something, the purported size of a Sasquatch or Yeti, something like that, is part of it, I think, is this view that we've, you know, we've left the Earth, so to speak, in our search for knowledge. We've gone to the moon. We have the Hubble telescope. We're out there.
The Earth is in our rearview mirror.
Exactly. Right. It's a really good way to put it.
Right.
And so it tends to make, by contrast, tends to make the Earth seem smaller, which it isn't. It's the exact same size it used to be, maybe, you know, give or take a foot or two. But, you know, and that coupled with these images in their heads of a giant slothering ape that, if I walked in the woods and if it was within a half a mile of me, I would see it or hear it, is just wrong. It's just, you know, there are so many places to hide. If you had a smart higher primate, by definition, be smart if it's higher primate. So that as an argument, consciously or unconsciously, just doesn't hold scientifically, I think.
Right. And I don't know how to respond to people who just, and I know we've talked about this on a previous show, this idea that, you know, they look at a map and they see all these big fat lines and there's not a lot of space in between them. So clearly I mean, I don't know how to respond to people who
no, I got you, dude.
Who don't seem, don't have any experience out in the woods. I'm not saying you need to go. And this is like, you know, something that Sharon talks about, and I completely agree with her. You know, going out in the woods and having a personal experience is not proof of anything. I totally acknowledge that. But absolutely, you need to, if you're going to sit there and say things like this dude said that if you drive through the big thicket of Texas, you will see somebody from a half a mile away. That is, again, just complete and utter bullshit. It is not true. I've been in the big thicket, dude. How do you even say that? How do you even get away with saying that when all you need to do is go there? And I can how do you deal with people like that?
Well, I got the answer for you, but I think the name of the show should be "I've Been in the Big Thicket, Dude." That should be And I do have the answer for you. When someone makes that argument, this is what you should do. If you're going to meet somebody you think might be saying that, a pretty good site, wear some type of like Zen monastery clothing. Have it ready to go and bow to him very slow. Look him right in the eye and go, "The map is not the territory." And then walk away. That is actually Zen saying.
And just walk away.
Well, it's like, you know, reminds me, there's an old joke in a Woody Allen film where he dubbed in American dialogue. And one of an old Japanese James Bond film was called "What's Up, Tiger Lily?" Pretty funny movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy's looking at a map. He's pointing at the map. And he goes, "I think he's right here." And the other guy goes, "He's right there on that tiny piece of paper? Where? I don't see him." So it is. That's another psychological way. I know we've talked about that too. It's that whole and it happens to me, man, when I go on these hikes or done earlier Bigfoot looking around. It's like you look at this map and you get so engrossed in the map and you just part of your mind just forgets that isn't even close to the actual territory. It's a representation.
Right.
As simple and as simplistic as that sounds, I think our brains get fooled by it. Our minds do anyway.
I do it all the time when I'm looking at, you know, when I go to X and I'm trying to think, well, gee, what do I want to do this time? Where do I want to go this time? Because of course I haven't been. And then you start like plotting out what you're going to do and where you're going. And then you actually get on the ground and start doing it. And you're like, man, it's a lot further along than I thought it was. You know,
you've got the elevation gain there's no trail.
You can't see the elevation on the map very well unless you've got that kind of map. But even then it doesn't really mean anything.
And plus making noise. I mean, especially if you got all that stuff, which is just like, wow, I guess it would be, it's just so when you get out into these areas, and always comes to mind is like, Northwest California, the Northwest corner up there is, it just becomes that thing comes back where I remember doubting that that a higher primate, I mean, even some relatively large numbers, I think it could pretty easily hide up there. I mean, really, steepness of slope, density of vegetation. That's all. That's all that's needed, man. We're weak. I mean, compared to our brains are big, but our bodies have gotten weaker. We need that. You know, that would be one thing. Maybe I would favor is if we're able to get DNA from a Bigfoot. Is if we could somehow
splice it.
Exactly. So we could strengthen our bodies
while
retaining our apparently smart minds.
Some people on the internet will tell you that's already happened. The Pentagon is making super soldiers out of Bigfoot DNA.
Yeah,
in fact, the evidence, I don't know if anybody is. I'm sure somebody's saying something on the internet about everything, right?
Yeah, so it's got to be true. Probably.
Did you see the sites?
Oh, go ahead. Sites. Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah. Whoa, that's pretty...
Two things. First thing I'm going to say is the first story that I saw on this was from The Independent, and they lead the story by saying, well, the mystery of the Yeti is solved.
Yeah, of course. God, terrible. Unbelievable.
That's it. It's done. Everyone was seeing a bear. You know?
Somebody turns in a hare. Therefore,
so we've solved the mystery.
And this hare isn't a Yeti. Therefore, there is no Yeti. I mean, it's like, what? Did you take a logic course?
And there may not be a Yeti. I'm not saying that there. But like,
exactly.
Looking at a couple of hares isn't going to determine if the mystery of the Yeti has been solved. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It is pretty cool what they did discover.
Oh, it's way cool.
Yeah, really interesting.
I mean, I can't wait to see actually what the hell it is they're talking about. But if this is a bear that's like stomping around in the Himalayas today, that would be a large, omnivorous mammal that was discovered via its hair. That's what, you know, Mike Mays, the Texas cryptid blogger, he made the observation on Twitter. He's like, the big question will be whether or not, if this is what they found in this hair, will they list the animal? Will they... Will they basically say that it is no longer extinct? You know, what will they do with this DNA finding to the extent of, you know, making the animal official, you know, living on the Earth today animal? You know, that'll, well, that'll be curious.
Is there a way to determine the age of the hair?
I don't know. I don't even know where it came from, right? I don't know what the provenance of the hair is.
Yeah. I would think, I mean, you would have a reasonable guess if this hair wasn't fossilized, but embedded in amber or something. Right. It has to be
I mean, hair will last a long time, right? I mean, hair sticks around for...
I guess. I don't know. It just seems like it would be unlikely that they would have hair that was 10,000 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I remember you posting this on the Bigfoot Show page. Has he gotten to any of the North American samples yet?
I don't believe that that's been talked about. You know, what this show, if you look at the preview for this show, and I can just say again that I'm just completely nauseated that this is a TV show in which all of this stuff is coming out on.
Yeah.
But if you look at the TV show, the trailer for that Channel 4 show, which is on today, they're in the Himalayas, they're talking about the Yeti, and then they also go to North America and they talk to some shady characters in North America about Bigfoot. So I don't know to what extent the hairs, the samples that he was studying from North America are or are not included in this. It seems to me that they're not, but I just don't know, because we have to wait till we see it. Right.
And I think the clip I saw of Sykes on the BBC, he seemed to indicate that the study isn't finished. That it's not like I looked at all the hairs and he just focused. Either maybe they had a deadline or something. They wanted to get a TV show because then they could, you know, because now he's got more hairs and he could string it along.
Today's, I didn't even think about it, but the show's showing today of all days. Weird.
Hey, Brian, you are you're getting a little warbly sounding. I don't know. It's sounding like it's getting ready to break up or something. Can you
hormones? I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting that like. Skypey, the bad Skypey vibe is it's been, but the last 5 minutes it just seems like it's ready to, but you can't, I can hear it. I don't know if it's going on if it's taping that way, but anyway,
we'll see. It should be all right. I will
it's doing it again right there when you said it was even a little worse, but we'll just
see what happens.
Okay, man,
let me know if I break up and disappear.
Okay, we can just claim it's an underwater segment we're doing.
Let me fill some dead air. I got to text my son to make sure he's not downloading some crazy shit off the internet.
Oh, to be a parent. You know, there's a great site I found, Brian, the other day. It's called SquatchFilms.com. At this site, you can find some most excellent films about the Pacific Crest Trail, Bigfoot, along with the Appalachian Trail. Coming up this January, there's going to be a DVD and a download available for a new film from this filmmaker. His name is Scott Squatchariot, about the Camino de Santiago. Camino de Santiago. Wasn't that a line in The Princess Bride?
Yes.
No.
Hello, my name is Camino de Santiago.
De Santiago. It was great over there. I think we talked about that on the show, but it's like anybody out there, by the way, is ever thinking about doing that trail, I strongly recommend it. It was really very cool, much more beautiful than I thought it would be. People were great. A lot of history. And, you know, you don't obviously have to do it for a spiritual, because it was originally a, you know, a Christian trek. And there's about 15% of the people who do it are specifically Christian doing this. But the majority of people who do it are actually doing it like a quote unquote spiritual quest, not connected to any particular religion and or a cultural thing, just to walk. It's nice. It's very good.
All right. I told my son if he's using the internet to knock it off. So.
Okay. Do you have to do that constantly?
Only when I'm recording this show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because kids today don't don't watch TV the way they did when I was 14, right? I mean, it's all on the internet. He's using Netflix or he's using Hulu or, you know, whatever. I mean, he doesn't watch live TV except if it's sports. You know,
are you getting him a pair of Google glasses for Christmas?
Oh, God, those things are so stupid looking. No.
I know, but I think that is kind of going to be a... It's going to be a true next step, I think, once they get it, once they get the blinking and you can check your email by looking up in the corner and the,
I don't know,
videotaping strangers.
I wore a pair. There's somebody that we work with at the office who brought one in. She's got one and I wore it for a second and it's weird.
It's a ways to go before.
I think so. I don't know that I could do it. I think it would end up giving me a terrible headache. And yeah, I don't know. It was weird. But that's just, I wore it for 5 minutes and that was it.
Maybe that's what Sam was doing today.
Maybe. Sam's not feeling well. So here's the deal. It's only me and Scott. It's like the old days. This is like a throwback. It's throwback, Sunday.
Yeah. Right. October 20th, BGF, throwback show.
It's just like episode one all over again. Those were the days. No, Scott's not feeling well. And he was, I'm sorry. Wait, no, you're feeling well. You're feeling fine. No,
not really, but go ahead.
You're here. Sorry. Not Scott. Sam. Yeah. Sam was supposed to be here. He's not feeling well. Dropped out at the very last minute. And Paul continues to pretend like he's got something in Africa.
That Africa, yeah. We think it's some kind of drug running operation, but we're hoping not.
I wanted to get to questions here, and I want to get to John. John, you've never been on the show. In fact, you say that you've never been on the show, but I don't know how to say your last name. Nair?
He's like one of the last guys, right?
Yeah, he is the last guy.
The last guy
on
the list.
John R. Nair the third.
It's like that Steve Martin doctor name in The Man with Two Brains, Dr. Huffenfarr.
I'm not going to answer any of his questions. I just wanted to say his name. That's not
John R. Nair the third.
He says you won't accept his friend request. That's interesting because you have 4,000 friends and you won't.
No, I did.
Oh, did you?
No. Yes, he says he asked one of his questions is why won't Sam?
Oh,
you're mixing
Sam,
up
right.
Sam and Scott. What is it, dude? You've got a tumor.
I'm having a stroke. Sam, right here on the show. That would be exciting. I'm sorry. Sam won't accept his friend request.
Yeah, and he asks, is it because I am also friends with Scott?
That's a good theory.
Yeah, that's probably
Sam's kind of standoffish. He's not a very friendly person.
Well, he's a family man. He's got other things to do, you know? So maybe, he lives in the woods. Doesn't wear pants a lot.
No. Any thoughts on the upcoming PGF anniversary? Asked John. Yeah, we've already talked about them.
Good
question. How long has Scott and Seth Skeptic been secretly dating?
What now does he say that? Because I think I always reference. We love Seth Skeptic.
You reference him quite often.
Yeah, and we haven't actually read anything by him in maybe 3 years. But I always thought he was one of the better reasoned and not inflaming skeptics on the Bigfoot forums. I always thought so. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to get this in the field of flashlight recommendations. I've actually got two flashlights I really, really like. I'll try to post them to the show notes at some point. I do have flashlight recommendations. If we don't talk about that this time, I'll talk about it next time.
I have one.
Go ahead.
Batteries.
Batteries.
That's my flashlight recommendation.
Okay.
I found when I got out without the batteries in the flashlight, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's true.
I can pretend. Yeah.
You get those. You get those kind. You can shake them. You know, like it looks like you're doing something obscene, but you just keep shaking them, and then the
Russian ones you can crank, but I think that would drive away any potential Sasquatch within a quarter mile. Maybe wouldn't it be ironic if that's what drew them in?
He did ask a good question. Any information on the hair samples the NAWAC sent to the Sykes Project? No, no information, and it's. Honestly frustrating that, you know, you send these things off and we've heard nary nothing.
Mm.
Not a peep. No idea.
Yeah.
No idea at all. So at this point, I can't tell you that he ever looked at them. I can't tell you if he did what he found.
I would imagine what the process must be. He's picked these samples which he feels is a fairly good chain of evidence attached, correct? And then they must do a morphological study, i.e. look at it through a powerful microscope, because by this point he's probably known, or his assistants know, what this is, a badger or whatever. And then they go into the DNA because it's so – or the analysis because that's so expensive.
I don't know. I mean, the hair we sent them didn't – I mean, it had interesting characteristics, but I don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah.
No update on that whatsoever.
Who – what is – what he writes here,
Tracy
John
Sherry. –
Yeah, the third. What is the crazy Sherry story?
That's a story of I swear we've talked about this on the show. Maybe we haven't. Maybe we've just referenced her. I we should have Bob on some point. Bob Strain, talk about this. She's a woman who Bob and Kathy Strain had a connection with because she had reported some activity on her property, and it was good. It was a good spot for it. I mean, she lived just over a reservoir. She had some fruit trees behind her house. I mean, so if you're like, well, where would a Sasquatch hang out? I mean, totally. I mean, she had the right place, right?
Right.
But she eventually she seemed to. turn into a person who enjoyed the attention more than anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And she had these people coming. Oh, I know, because Paul's talked about it, because Paul was there too. People just came and were paying her attention, and she turned into
Janice. Who's the lady in
Janice Coy, right?
The
best part was she had installed, or maybe Bob and Kathy had installed a little video. This was quite a while ago, so the technology was not very good, but sort of a little video surveillance thing that was plugged into her VCR, and then. She gave them this tape where you can see her like tiptoeing. I mean, she's like from some kind of like Charlie Chaplin movie, right? She's like tiptoeing through the field of view of the camera, and then you hear like this click click, and then like the Tahoe scream, and then click. You know, so you can totally hear the tape machine like being turned on and turned off near the microphone, and then she runs back. And she was like,
wow.
It screamed at me. I'm like, yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's obviously, if you're somebody who's looking at these things, something to be cognizant of. The people who get into this and then start reporting things because they really like the attention.
Yeah.
And,
You know, the Zodiac Killer, tangent number five, they think actually he did the same thing, that he killed five people. The famous Zodiac Killer, and then kept sending letters that he killed other people, but they came to the determination that he didn't. He was taking credit for things because he loved the attention so much.
Right.
Yeah. Just a little side there.
That's sort of like what terrorists do. they take credit for each other's. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just to get the cred.
Yep. So we covered John's John Arnar.
A lot of his questions, not all of them, but come on, John, you can't ask that many questions.
Wow.
I expect all of them.
But kudos to writing like 10 questions, 11 questions.
I feel like I just got like, it's like bird shot.
It's like he's covered for the next 10 years.
He's done.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you read the thing Alton posted? Yawning as a research strategy.
that chimps will yawn if we yawn, just like people yawn.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me the things that how close we are to chimps in certain things like that. Like if we yawn, they'll yawn. But they don't understand the whole notion of pointing at something, you know, like a dog will. Like this has been shown through study. Like you can point to something. If you like hide like a treat under two cups and you basically do a little, you know, five card, you know, what's that game on the streets with the anyway, and then
the tourist,
right? And if you have a dog in front of you and you point to the cup where the treat is, the dog will go right to that cup. But if you do that with a chimp, you know, 50% of the time he'll go for the other cup. They don't get pointing, but dogs do, probably because dogs have developed alongside of us for so long.
Maybe the chimps are just fucking with us.
Maybe they
know. They saw you put it in there. They just like, geez, another one of these tests. Do I get the friggin' banana? All right. No, it's in that one. Okay.
Yeah, who knows? Zephyr Windyman cannot.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. We have actually, I remember Zephyr's or Mr. Windyman's picture, his profile picture. So we've answered his questions in the past. What are individuals or groups currently doing actual Bigfoot research that you guys respect besides the NAWAC? Weekend camping trips are not research, in my humble opinion. I don't honestly know. There are people, but I'm not.
Well, we know that the only real, you know, the only scientific organization is the BFRO.
Yes, they're the only scientific one.
But you know, and we know why that's true, right?
Because they said so.
On their banner.
Because it's on their website, right? So it's got to be true. Funny thing is, it's right above the advertisement for all those great little excursions they'll take you out on. So it's very common. If you go to a scientific website, they'll say on the site that they're scientific, first of all, because they have to say that.
Yeah.
And then right below that, they'll give you ways that you can pay
half
money
off this month.
Yeah. There'll be special offers to engage in their commercial activities. That's really the two hallmarks of scientific groups is A, they tell you they're scientific, and then B, they take you out in the woods for money.
Also, the foot rubs from Bobo, I think, add an extra element of scientific scrutiny to the whole.
I bet he's good at it, though.
Why did I just have this image of Bobo like, telling a joke, and then he just lets a big wad of chaw drop on your foot? No, it's good for you. This helps wake you up. That doesn't sound anything like Bobo, but I'm just going by the hair and the hat.
It sounds like some like hillbilly from the woods with a yeah.
That's Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at that. Dean Higgins says there's a story about some tiger researchers having an orang pendek body for 11 years. I don't. I never heard that. Did you hear that?
I had not until that. I think Dean may just be trying to throw us off here to see if we can we'll make something up. Dean, oh,
if,
yeah.
If you got a link, Dean, put it on our Facebook page. I'd be curious to see that. Because Brian Shepard also wants to talk about orang pendek.
Yeah.
Orang pendek is not like Bigfoot, right? It's just like
it's like a tinier. It's kind of a.
It's like an orangutan.
Yeah, like an upright orangutan.
Yeah, it's but it doesn't really seem to fit the quote unquote. You know, you got like the Bigfoot and the Yeti and the Almasti and the Ulmus, and those all sort of like follow the Aran. They all sort of
the bigger,
yeah, the bigger ones. But
this would be like a shorter version. Isn't there one of the shorter Yetis? The Meta, is that it? The shorter one, the big one. You know, by the way, I know that I wanted to say back about the Sykes Yeti hair. Himalayan thing is that I really found at Lauren Coleman's site he had a really good breakdown of that with the different types of bears that exist. There's good photos of all. I couldn't believe how many friggin' bears exist in the Himalayas, but there's a good summary of that there. And I just, you know, I know we will criticize Lauren at times, and I think rightly so at times, but he also does some good stuff. And I think this was an example where he really did a good job of kind of laying out some stuff in the site. I think at cryptonews.com. Yeah. Great. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's not, he's not at Cryptomundo anymore. It's cryptonews.com.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to Cryptomundo? What happened? We have any,
it's still there.
No, but I mean, why did he leave? Was there?
I don't know. I think there was some. I think it was that dude that sued them, or I don't know. I think there was some falling out between Craig and
whatever.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's toys. Safari Limited announces 2014 cryptozoological tubes. Oh, the tube of toys. I don't know. I'm getting distracted by Lauren's website.
Did I mention SquatchFilms.com?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Bob Rutherford, maybe talk about what started you all off with this Bigfoot obsession years ago. Are we obsessed? I don't know if I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Well,
what started it for you?
My dad bought me The Year of the Sasquatch by John Green when I was younger. And I was at a young age. I just thought it was kind of cool. You know, Green writes in a pretty dry style. It wasn't very sensationalized. No. So it was just all these like newspaper articles from the 1800s. Uh-huh. And I remember thinking, and then of course the Patterson film, until I learned later it's probably a fake. And then another thing was in the 90s when I late 90s, I went to the science library of my old university, Cal State Northridge. And I was just wondering, I wonder if there's anything on Bigfoot here. It couldn't be because that's not right. And there was a copy of the Sasquatch, the Apes Among Us in the science library.
Nice.
And that really impressed me. So I read the whole book. Still a great book. That's definitely one of the musts. And then heard some weird screams in the Southern Sierra, 98, though could be – but it was so scary and weird. And then, of course, then the thing in 21 years ago, dude. Do you believe that? Wow. Are we going to, by the way, speaking of which, we should do this documentary.
We need to talk more about it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah,
as a group.
Yeah, I think what you laid out, I don't think I responded to it, by the way. I've been busy, but I thought what you laid out in the thing was good. Seems in the ballpark, and I think it'd be really fun.
So the people who don't know what we're talking about, three shows ago, we talked about potentially doing a filmed version of this crap that we do on the internet.
That's the title of it.
Yes, filmed version of the crap we do. But sort of like in sort of up the northern northwest
California.
Northern California up into the whatever. I think we have some stuff we have to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of people who are, you know, you're a little older than me, but this I think John Green is a big part of it for I think a lot of people. You know, John Green was so influential at, you know, a lot of his books, you know, he wrote several books, was sort of like Apes Among Us being the peak of his production there. And of course for me it was there was also the Boggy Creek film and $6 million man, right? I mean, that was it.
You are obsessed.
Obsessed? It was on a $6 million man. Everybody watched a $6 million man. Yeah.
I don't think, you know, I've never seen that episode in full. I don't think I ever, I didn't watch that when I was a kid. I always hated that
show. All of those shows seem better in memory than they are in real life. You go back and watch them, you're like, God, this is boring. You know, why did I even.
Except Gilligan's Island. That holds up, my friend. Let me tell you, it's classic comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Oddly, I was surprised to see John Eric Beckier leave a comment to our Facebook page. That was unexpected.
That's weird. He died like 4 years ago.
Yeah, but apparently still around, still doing his thing.
It is still weird for me to think he's dead because he was truly like a Darth Vader of the Bigfoot world. He was the closest thing to a Darth Vader of the Bigfoot world. He was really messed up, that guy.
Yeah, he was. He was completely.
Did you ever meet him? I met him like 3 times.
I was near him. I did not meet him. I didn't actually want to meet him. I thought by the time that I had the opportunity to actually meet him, I had already been exposed to his madness. I mean, he was a sociopath.
Well, he was. Yeah, and I think – technically, you know, and talked to other people and that he was on medication, like he was a paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, he's getting clearly acted like one. He would just go hallucinating and all that stuff. But good to have him back.
Yeah, good to see good to see him back from the dead. He wanted us to talk about Ape Canyon. Just Ape Canyon.
Somebody wrote Ape Canyon?
John did. John Eric Beckyard said Ape Canyon, Brian Sykes. We've talked about Brian Sykes. I don't know if there's anything in particular about Ape Canyon. We had a conversation about it on the Facebook. I'm sorry, not the Facebook. I totally lied. On the Bigfoot forums, there were similarities that were noted, and we had a conversation about between some of the things that if you go back and read the Ape Canyon, you know,
Glenn Beck? No.
No, that's a different guy. But Beck.
Yeah.
Beck. If you go back and read his he was in a cabin and Bigfoot threw rocks at him. There are some interesting similarities between some of the things he said in those stories and the kind of things that we've experienced in Area X and in Oklahoma. Some very similar types of interaction. Though in Washington, if you believe his story, it got much more intense and aggressive. But some of the, you know, basic things that he talks about, he talks about rocks being thrown, he talks about stuff like that, you know, hitting, slapping walls. Well, slapping walls is something that you don't hear a lot of people talk about, but it is a fairly common thing reported in different parts of the country, people saying that their houses are being hit and they ascribe Sasquatch to that.
I remember at least one report, maybe a couple, and I think it might be in Green's The Apes Among Us, Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us, is the thing about the going to the corner of a structure and then like shaking it or you know, like they go to the corner and they push on it or something. Like they think they can shake it something.
Because that's what happened. I experienced that very same thing.
Yeah.
I should go back and look at that.
And how much booze was there?
None. Zero. No, we don't drink.
Area Dos Equis.
That's the next valley over. Area Dos Equis. there's no drinking in Uno Equis.
That doesn't stop the mushrooming, though. Come on.
Well, I don't know. Whatever's coming in the air is contact buzz we get from the mushrooms when they start doing whatever it is they do. So anyway, Ape Canyon's interesting, only that there's – but then, you know, he gets into some really weird stuff about, you know, they're like psychic or something, and then I lose him. But the core story has some interesting similarities.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It could be a mixture of something that actually a real event. And then I remember somebody telling me once in that book, he says, as we were walking toward the area, there was a cloud shaped like an Indian head or something. And that told us it was going, you know, it was just some real cuckoo stuff. So does that mean everything's cuckoo? Who knows? Right. It might be. It might be a mix.
It absolutely could be. Right. Chai Skeptic wants to know that when Scott does his professional hiking.
Ignore the tie.
While you're doing your professional hiking, are you ever looking for evidence?
Oh, well, yeah, in the sense of like always listening, you know, especially at night. The Appalachian Trail doesn't really have an intense history of purported sightings as the Pacific Northwest does, and then conversely, that would be like the PCT through Washington and parts of Northern Oregon. Yeah. But I try to, you know, just keep it. I'm not, you know, which I think maybe is the best way to do it. You don't want to be looking too hard. Then, you know, then you start seeing shapes in the dirt that, oh, that could be a toe. Teepees. Yes. Yeah. The wood teepees. Yeah, yeah. And I would say And the most being listening, because, you know, and then I'm keeping an eye out anyway for stuff to videotape for the films anyway. So I try to keep an eye out when I'm not dodging roots on the Appalachian Trail. So, yeah, generally I would say so.
But obviously when you're in Europe, nothing. You weren't looking for anything because there's nothing there.
No, although it was lusher than I thought. I think we talked about this a few. Yeah, it was like, you know, I thought Spain, it's going to look like a Sergio Leone film, maybe an Eastwood lookalike.
I'm looking for planes because they talk about the rains on the plains.
Spain, yeah. But they had a heavy winter, and so it's northern Spain, closer to the ocean up there, and it was pretty lush. A lot of there were pockets of the Camino that you go through some AT-like dense forest stuff, and especially the last 4 days, if you go all the way to the ocean, really a lot like Northern California.
Really?
Same latitude. Yeah, wow. same
sure,
basic
sure, yeah.
latitude.
Yeah. Sure, that makes sense.
But and I did notice that one of the stone crucifixes I saw along the way, that Jesus looked remarkably hairy.
Did he?
Other than that, yeah, from head to toe.
A hirsute Jesus.
A hirsute Jesus and a crown of berries. Well, that was weird. But instead of thorns, I got nothing.
Chai wants to know if you have
Chai.
Does Scott wish he had done anything different in the
on that hill 21
years ago?
That's crazy, dude. You know, that's what people have asked me that before. You know, people say just bluntly, "Oh, I would have stayed. I would have walked right toward it."
Right.
I would have really?
Really? I would have. Yeah.
Without any pepper spray or any kind of fire.
I just would have gone
not
right into
to
that.
Kill it for a specimen, but for self defense, right? But no, I mean, it's, you can always second guess everything. I'll tell you this. The one thing, though, because when I saw the glowing red eyes, right? We both saw that. That's what I got on videotape. And then Daryl was freaking out and getting the video that I subsequently, when we went down the hill, popped the videotape in. You see what, to me, seems very clearly upper arm, head, humanoid shape, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you said, if I had seen that while I was there, because I couldn't, because it was extremely dense, and if we end up doing this documentary, hopefully we can go back up the hill and show you, is I don't know what I would have done, but I'm going to guess I don't think I would have walked toward it. I just think whether it's just the thought, holy crap, this is, I'm witnessing one of these things, and it's right there peering at me, I doubt I would walk toward it. I mean, it's obviously, it was heavily muscled. Why would anybody do
this
that?
This is the thing that because I've been asked various forms of the same question, not necessarily on the show, because I can think of at least two, maybe three situations where, you know, it's like, well, why didn't you walk over there? Because you don't. I don't know, because it's really easy to say what you would do in the calm and collected, you know, surroundings of your home and with the lights on. But when you're in the woods and these things are happening, there's a lot of stuff going on, and you don't always let your higher brain decide what's going to happen next, right? Sometimes.
Well, not only that, it's just being safe. Like, for example, I mean, you at Area X were talking about you saw these eyes, right? It sounded like similar and it had some kind of reddish tint to it.
They're
right?
Orange, orangey. Yeah, orange.
Right.
Eyes.
And so that's what you're seeing, right? That's all. So let's just put out there that if it wasn't a bit, you don't know what it is. Right. So why would you go churching? And I mean, nobody would. That's just insane. I mean,
could have been a big cat. You know, they're definitely.
Yeah, who knows?
Area. Right. Yeah.
So why be aggressive? It doesn't make sense. So, I mean, maybe
you don't second guess what happened on that hill.
No, not at all. Right. I mean, I think we were fortunate enough to be there as it was, and that we both got video of what I think actually were two, the smaller one with the eyes, the video I shot, and then Daryl with the shoulder and the head of it. And you know, you got to be grateful for that, I think.
Right. It's that's fair.
And it was just one of those things. So that's it.
Chai wants to know if I ever catch flack from family and coworkers about the NAWAC or Would a Pursuit. You know, from my immediate family, no, not at all. From my extended family, there are one or two people who give me crap, but most of the time they don't even talk about it, which is fine because I don't talk about it either. My coworkers, because my company does a lot of work for the NAWAC, we do the website and the app and that sort of thing. No, I don't get any crap from them either because most of them are on my payroll. So they don't send up saying anything. They don't say anything.
You know what
they're
boss?
Thinking, I have
You're
no idea.
Crazy.
Right, right. No, they may be thinking. They can think whatever they want, but nobody's ever said anything to me about it. He wants to know about other NAWAC members.
Oh, wait, wait, before you get to that one, that's a good one though, but I think the one before it, has the interest caused any breakups in marriages?
Yeah, you know, well, no, not that I'm aware of, but...
never been married.
But, you know, the guy with the little guy with the attitude, you knew him before he died. I can't think of his name.
Guy with the attitude.
Yeah, the one that they modeled the guy in Harry and the Hendersons after.
Oh, DeHinden.
Yeah. Didn't DeHinden leave his wife because of Bigfoot? Like, he got into it?
Yeah. Oh, and also, I would say, in the thing that happened to me 21 years ago, Daryl, who shot the video, his wife apparently divorced him. He became so obsessed afterwards.
And I don't want to name names because I may have this wrong, but there's a well-known person in the field who I believe it's the case that his wife left him because of his interest in the field. Like, he literally came home after a weekend in the woods, and she was gone. They cleared everything out, you know, and it basically, like, left
him. I heard that he came home, and she was taking it from a guy wearing a gorilla costume. I thought that was weird.
That's a different guy you're talking about.
Taking it. What am I, 9?
I don't know. Like, taking brownies? I don't know what.
Yes, brownies out of the oven.
So no, and with regard to the people that I'm, you know, that I associate with, for the most part, I can think of one member who's got a significant other who gives him shit for it, but for the most part, spouses are supportive and some of them are actually even interested in and involved in the group. So, it's not the case that I know that many people who have had issues with their marriages because of this. Is anyone in the NAWAC no kill or able to refuse to shoot and still be a member? Yes. I don't know if there's anybody who is quote unquote no kill. I think that it's not a litmus test. You can be in the group and have a different opinion. I think that
sign me up.
It's one of those. You're right. It's one of those things where I think that the people who have that feeling would not join the group today. And I know, but I don't know that it's the, I know that it's the case that not everyone who goes into X, for instance, has to pledge to shoot the first Bigfoot they see, because I'm not carrying a weapon capable of doing that. And I don't plan on doing that. And I know there's others like me. So, no, you don't have to, there's no problem with quote unquote refusing to shoot, a Bigfoot. Cause, I can still think that that's what should happen, but I'm not going to do it. And it's not a problem. And then he wants to know what I do, to afford a pool.
That was a great last question.
Yeah, who says I can afford the pool? Because it's back there doesn't mean we can afford it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can do you not want to mention what I mean? You're
no, I'm in marketing. I do interactive marketing. I own an agency that does interactive marketing in
on the web, right?
Yeah, the web, email, social, Facebook kind of stuff. You know, basically, if it's on a screen, we've probably done it at some point. The agency's been around since 98, so a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And bank robber as well.
The weekends. Whatever. Weekends.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. And I'm a bank robber. Next.
And I rob banks, right. But don't tell anybody. Matthew Brocci, Brocci? I don't know, Matthew. Sorry.
Matthew brought Chi.
I'm completely ruining your name. Would tracking dogs rigged with GoPros work in Area X? It's funny you should ask. I don't know. We've talked about it. I think that, you know, you got to find the dogs, and I assume that there's dogs out there. It's an interesting idea, basically, and I'll put it that way. Right. There's been conversations about it. I don't know how it would work. I don't know to what end. I mean, so you put a camera on a dog, and the dog takes off, and what if the dog finds it, you know, and what's going to happen to the dog? And you know, you can't keep up with the dog. So
they got to set up the tripod. It's hard to teach a dog that.
It's really hard to teach a dog to do that. So yeah, that might work. But, you know, the point is we're not necessarily looking to get a video of it. So if there would be a way to advance the, you know, the quote unquote mission, then I think we might give it a shot. But I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I know that it's something that we've discussed in the past and or maybe discussing right now.
Yeah.
How many chupacabras can take a Bigfoot in a fight at one time? It depends. Oh, so he says the alien creepy kind, not the mangy dog kind. The alien creepy kind, I'm going to say you need 4 to 6 chupacabras to completely disable a full-grown adult male Bigfoot.
I think that's too many.
Really?
He's a big dude, man.
You know, he's going to take half of them out.
But an alien, well, first of all, the alien creepy kind, they probably have some power that's non-earthly, like, a, you know, lasers out of the eyes.
I'm assuming that all they got is, like, teeth and claws.
I think 3.
Are they venomous?
3 would do it. I don't know.
If they're venomous, then I'm going to cut my number way back.
Fine.
Non-venomous, alien, creepy chupacabras without laser eyes.
They probably don't exist. So.
Way to ruin it.
Yeah.
How big is one of these alien, creepy kind of chupacabras?
I don't know. I just figured it's same size, but extra powers.
Yeah, so not, you know, real, like, big.
Yeah, maybe they, you know, mesmerization. They could probably just do that. They could mesmerize. That would be kind of an interesting thing if the Sasquatch, some people believe, you know, are mesmerizers too. So it was a mesmerization off. Where they just keep staring at each other and staring at each other. You know, like at the beginning before the Dodger game where the guys wouldn't go back in the dugout. Did you see that thing?
Yes.
Yeah, they just keep doing it, and then somebody blinks, and then the other one wins.
You think, are they like the size of Shelties, or are they bigger than that?
Why am I blanking on Shelties?
Shelties are like those little collie type dogs, the small ones though.
Yeah,
maybe like the size of a terrier. Yeah. Are they terrier sized? Are they like?
No, I think maybe a small terrier. Weight wise, obviously different shape. I would think.
I think you need half a dozen, man. It's kind of like how the velociraptors used to hunt. You know, they'd work together and they'd like. We think they, you know.
Yeah.
I think a Bigfoot would rip one or two off and probably take those out of commission. I'm talking full-grown alpha male Bigfoot, right? 8-9 feet tall. This thing weighs 1,000 pounds. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is one of those, like, we're never going to know. This was a question. I didn't think I said his name. Ron Man Reed.
Yeah. I actually found our discussion on the Dodger game more interesting than the last couple minutes.
I have a question for you because I was I was reading something somewhere about pictures, and this was actually from a skeptic who says, well, why don't you try to take a picture or something? I don't know what he said exactly. And I'm trying to, and this is something else I was imagining, thinking about on the treadmill. What picture do you think, what would have to be in a picture for the quote unquote skeptic to accept it? What do we need to get, what needs to be in that picture?
Or at the very least to go, maybe this is worthy of investigation. At least that. Okay, first of all,
a picture will never prove it, but
yeah, exactly.
I can't even imagine what the photo.
Yeah,
but this is an extra. This is a little thought exercise for us. What picture do they need to see?
Okay, I don't think a firmly entrenched skeptic, scoftic, a still image wouldn't. But what could I think in a video. Apart from is if you can verify that the object is not CG'd, right? Uh-huh. And we have talked about this on the show before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that it is, and the camera is relatively stationary, fully stationary would be better, like if it was something attached to the tree. And it is, therefore you could conclusively determine how fast it moves from point A to point B in the field of vision of the camera. And that speed exceeds, let's say, 26 miles per hour. Then you know it's faster than any known human, and then you're not left with a lot of options.
Can you do that with a photo? I mean, this is a series of photos.
No. A photo, I don't think. Or a video. In this day and age of photoshopping, it also depends on the circumstance of the particular skeptic. If he, like, let's say, I mean, as much as we joke around, I think we're not hoaxers, right? And thankfully, that's our rep. If Sharon Hill, if you put up one of the cam trackers, and it was only you who put it up, and it was in this area, and you went back and retrieved it, and there was a photo, like something peering into the camera, I think, and again, this is what someone says publicly versus what they think or feel privately. It's kind of, you know, something like that could help sway someone to become more interested in the topic. But again, like you said, it's not verification because all that stuff can be faked. So it depends on the source of the evidence too. But a still photo, let's say, put on the web. Now it's everything's so fakeable.
Even a genuine photo.
It's not.
But this is the thing. I mean, even if somebody put it out there with all the best intentions and even a well investigated photo, just my experience says it is impossible to penetrate the shell, right? You can't do it.
I just would look at it this way. I think you worry about it too much too. Just don't worry. Who cares, man? You know, somebody, you know, it is something that isn't verified. And if somebody, and again, it goes back, I think, really to different types of people and their level of trust in other humans' perceptive abilities. It's like, yeah, I believe people hallucinate, they misinterpret, they lie. There's a lot of them.
Right.
And if we had only 10 stories of alleged man-like upright creatures, probably wouldn't have the show, wouldn't we? But we're talking about literally thousands of people. Almost certainly, we know for a fact that a percentage are misperceptions, hallucinations, or hoaxes. But every single one, when you compare it to the history of science, of scientific discovery, what happened with the gorillas? What happened with the thing? There were stories for many, many, many years before verification occurred. So I just find that, back to what we had talked about earlier, it's just like they get rigid and they – or then with the other thing we didn't touch on, we have in other shows, is somebody becomes a professional skeptic. And, you know, I kind of think Radford's in that boat a little bit. You know, he's kind of the – that's how he gets his living. But he says he makes no money, but that's he adopts that stance. It's almost like
he makes no money.
Well, he says he doesn't make much of a living here. So when he was on the show,
that's fine. Yeah. I can believe that.
Whatever. But if you know, it's almost like in politics, you could have, he's a professional Republican. He's a professional Democrat.
Right.
How often do you see a major shift? It happens, but it's like, it's where their bread and butter is. That's what they're known as. So they either fool themselves or they're lying to others about a true change in opinion. That I don't think we can ever really know for sure.
I don't think there is a, you know, and this was just an exercise because I just don't believe there is a, probably shoot a video of like one giving birth to another one. Maybe, I don't know. It would have to be so over the top.
And if it was somebody who wasn't, I mean, again, a truly scientific mind would look at that and go, could be, you know, and, but again, I would go back. I totally understand in this day and age of CG that, so, I mean, look, just look at the films. Even 10, 15 years ago with the last Lord of the Rings. I mean, that spider, holy hell.
Yeah.
If you showed that footage to someone 20 years later, earlier, you would have reason to believe, holy shit, there's a spider that's 10 feet long, because we can't do that with, you know. So
I watched Harry Potter with my daughter yesterday, and I remember when it first came out how, like, totally cool Dobby was, because, you know, Dobby's house elf, totally made up character, completely CGI.
Refresh me on Dobby.
Dobby's the little house elf. He's the guy that is trying to help Harry in the second book in very unhelpful ways. But anyway, in the movie, it was like, wow, he's completely CGI. That thing looks so cool. And now you look at it and you're like,
really? Yeah,
and then you look at Gollum. Gollum is amazing. Gollum continues in the last Hobbit movie. Gollum just is remarkably cool as from a CGI standpoint. So yeah, CGI is incredible now.
Yeah, and guys, Gravity, we were talking about
Gravity. Almost all that movie is animated.
Yeah, it's I think it's a pretty good movie. You see it for the visuals, definitely. I mean, it's amazing. It's a little too, like, every, you know, yeah, a little contrived or implausible, as it were. But it is amazing. And see it in 2D or 3D, because it's just like, I saw it in 2D and it was amazing. So
I saw it in 3D, and it's one of like two movies that I've seen in 3D when I'm like, God, I'm glad I saw that in 3D.
I saw that you posted that. What was the other 3D movie you saw that you were glad?
Avatar.
Yeah, me too. That's the only 3D film I've seen.
Yeah, those are the. I mean, most every other 3D movie I watch, it's like I could have watched this in 2D and no problem. And I almost always pick 2D now, but in this case, I pick 3D, and I'm glad I did. Really cool film. Totally agree with you. Not the dialogue is Cheeseville, man. It is just like, you know,
which aged, one?
In Gravity, the dialogue. Yeah, is
it is. It is the weakest part of the film. Right. Is the dialogue?
They should have just like shut up. You know, just stop talking. But really, really just an amazing thing to experience.
Yeah. And it could have been a great film if they just didn't, they resisted that urge to like, you know, and this isn't giving anything away specifically at all, but it's like, oh, this person's got three options to grab onto something and they always grab the last one.
Right.
You know, it's like that happens literally like four or five times in the film. Right. And it's like, you don't have to. It's such an amazing visual. Just keep it more realistic. It would have been so much more powerful.
Sorry, we're going with another tangent.
Gravity and its effects on Bigfoot. Okay, well. Right.
They could have put a Bigfoot floating through space.
That would have been cool. No reference to it. You just see it.
Have it.
For
right. It has to be in the background in one of those things you have to like pick up as an Easter egg. Just the Patterson-Gimlin film subject just rotating through space.
Yeah.
Oh, man, why do I pick these guys with names I can't pronounce? What I'm saying?
Hamada.
Eddie. Sorry, Eddie. I'm really sorry. How about the ramifications of if when Bigfoot is proven to exist, meaning economically, politically, and even ethically? You guys tapped on them here and there in small tidbits, but I never went full blown. There's a lot that could and probably will happen that many people haven't realized yet. I think, you know, and we have to sort of tapped on this, as he says, a couple of times. Just from the standpoint of people knowing all of a sudden that there's a big hairy monster in the woods, for sure, right? I think just the impact that will have on people who don't think about it that much, it could scare a lot of people away from the woods, right? I mean, all of a sudden, like, oh my God, these things are actually out there.
But I think, oddly enough, those are the people who rarely go in the woods anyway. So it's not like, well, I'm not going. I wasn't going to go to the woods anyway.
Not going back out there.
Yeah,
never have, but I'm seriously not doing it now.
Yeah, I think it depends on the evolution, if you will, of the discovery of these. Again, if in fact they're real, if we get, let's say, we refer to Sykes' DNA. Let's say the samples Brian put forth, and it comes back, whoa, this is some type of hominid, blah blah blah, so you got that, so that'll open up more interest to more people. And of course we've talked about it ad nauseum, and I think you guys know where I stand. I mean, I am against killing one of these things. I think there's another way. That's what I'm saying. I think a little patience, that's all I'm saying. And it depends. If it's a chain of evidence where there's like four or five steps to like, well, now everybody does, then it'll be less. But if it's like, if tomorrow a guy had hit one with his truck and there was there, it would be more impactful because it wasn't like society as a whole wasn't used to it. It's like if 10 years ago, some guy hit one with his truck, brought it in, scientists look at it and say, hey, this is a new classified animal. It would have more impact. It would have more impact than I think today, because I think
interesting.
Yeah, the plausibility has opened up more with such great shows as Finding Bigfoot. Shows.
It's interesting you say that because there was I've referenced him before. In fact, I referenced him in the last show. My friend who used to be really into UFOs, he said that there were so many aliens in popular culture. The reason for that was because they were trying to soften us up for when they eventually revealed themselves to be real.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be freaked out. But that's kind of what you're saying. But I think what you're saying is an interesting point. You know, because we're so saturated at this point in our culture with Bigfooty type stuff. That's an interesting point. It won't have the same impact as it would have, you know, 15 years ago before, sort of in between the sort of the late 70s, early 80s Bigfoot phenomena and what we're dealing with now.
Yeah, you know, and I would say that there's quite a few people when I bring this up to people who like I've just met, and they go, "How'd you get names?" Because Squatch is my trail name, and I go, "Well, I'm really into the Bigfoot stuff," and I'm always kind of surprised how many people are kind of like, "Oh yeah, there could be something out there." They're just not into it.
Yeah, yeah,
like I am, you know. Oh, right. And so
there's tons of those people out there.
I think what you'll see, like any big discovery like this, I mean, there'll be huge, huge media. A lot of media BS, I think, as far as blowing up thing. I mean, again, back to politics, you know, anything But that could have some positives as well.
I think it would be a big boost for Matt Moneymaker's career, honestly.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the rub with that. Then it's gonna be a reveal about all the crap Matt has done in the past. So it's gonna be a wash with him. I mean, he's just, you know, it's like Matt acts like a guy. The ends justify the means, and you know what? When you really think about it, it doesn't really justify the means. I mean, when you do a, you know, things down to get to where you are, it does matter how you got there. And then people will be aware that he becomes aware of it. Maybe he's actually mellowed out a little bit, but I mean, without going into details and stuff. And this is, I don't want to be totally negative here, but the guy has worked hard. I mean, we have to agree to that. He's definitely
committed to this for a long, long time.
Yeah. But you know, just a lot of bad science along the way, a lot of proclamations that at best are half truths or just bold, I don't want to say necessarily lies, but just to get more people involved, you know, like using quote unquote, I would call bad marketing to initiate interest. That's cheesy, you know.
If all of a sudden Bigfoot is real, I think his get a huge amount, like way more attention than they even get now. A lot of people are going to gravitate towards him because, you know, they are the only scientific group looking for this thing.
Yeah.
It says it right there on their site. I think it'd be huge business for Matt. And that's what I'm talking about. I think it's huge business for Matt because all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of people saying, yeah, I want to go out in the woods and look for Bigfoot. And this guy's already got experience putting out like a couple dozen of these things a year. Alton said on, I think it was on one of the shows, you know, people like from a political standpoint, the Secretary of the Interior has the ability to list animals as endangered sort of provisionally. I think that would probably happen immediately.
Yep.
Even if we don't know, you know, technically right. that they're endangered, I think that would like immediately there would be some sort of move to protect the animal. And for good reason. I think a lot of states would move in the same direction. I think there'd be a lot of state laws suddenly enacted, especially in places like California, Washington, Oregon, where, you know, you would imagine there might be a rush of people trying to get out there to, you know, bag their own if that's how it happens. I think that you'd have states that just don't want people out there in the woods shooting at upright, you know, walking things.
Right. And also for it, you know, apart, I mean, as much as we disagree on killing one for a specimen, I think we both agree that, you know, once that happens, if that's the way it happens, and again, I'm pulling for the it's like, oh, I want to go get one. It's for, you know, no, it's fucking cruel. And no,
I feel one and done. And but a very good question that sort of, you know, talks on this scientific sort of maybe this ethical thing he's talking about here. I will be very curious to know once it is done. And I guess maybe it depends on how it's done. Will there be a call for more further, you know, sort of further specimen collection? I'll be curious to see what happens there. I'll be curious to see if, because there definitely is a movement of people within the scientific community. You know, there was this owl that was proven to exist through photographs, and supposedly it's listed. And if you look at the conversation about this owl, some people are saying, oh, we don't need a specimen because, you know, we got these great photos, and they're perfectly clear, awesome, beautiful photos of this owl, saying, so we don't need the specimen, but others saying like, well, of course we do. You know, it'll just be a matter of weeks before somebody brings in the holotype because you have to have a holotype. So anyway, it'll be that kind of conversation, and I'm not even going to get involved with it.
Yeah. I hope happens. And again, by the time it does is like what I'm offering up, or suggesting, even though it's more difficult, but I think it's a better way to do it is let's say is specimens found. They find a dead body. Somebody shoots one. A guy hits one with a car. Is a detailed attempt. And again, I think it would gather so much more information while at the same time respecting it, you know, without having to kill another one, is some kind of tracking device on it. Whether, you know, I actually talked to a PhD candidate friend of mine up in Oregon about this, and she said she thought, although, you know, given if these things are real and what people say they do, that it might be, you know, she thinks like some type of ankle bracelet that would be very difficult, even if something as strong as that, and you put it on it, it's like a tracking device, you know, they use the criminals, and it's minimal, problem for the animal. You make it, you design it so that, but you can track it that way. And then obviously this information does not go public. And you can see how it lives. It's like where it goes every once in a while, let's say like every month. Then you get trained National Geographic photographers, get in there, get close enough, maybe get a photo, but respect its distance, let it live its life. You learn about it that way. And then when it dies, then you get that body, right? And again, that's my hope for verification. But if you know, they find a body, whatever, I think that would be a really good thing because that's the only way you're really – you're not going to learn that much by having – I mean, other than its biology, but not about you know, where its zone is. Because, you know, I would consider myself a pretty pro-environmental person, and I think anything that would – that would keep more trees around, I'm in favor of, you know, instead of limiting expansive development. That would be an extra benefit. Yeah.
I think that I'll be curious to see, because now we're living in this world where Bigfoot's already been proven to exist, to what extent they can even actually be studied. You know, there are animals that are just so elusive and so hard to see that they're very, very difficult to study directly. And yeah. I don't – this may be one of those animals where we just – or it may be the case that when there's actually people who know shit about primates get out there in concerted numbers, it may not be as hard as it sounds just because they haven't been doing it up to this point.
I think that would be so fascinating, man, because I think it could totally be done and it's a win-win for everybody. It's that – you know, you're just kind of coming into its ground, but you're not – you know, you're not trying to capture it. You're not trying to – you just – you know, maybe if they get to the point – If they had a specimen hit by a car, whatever, however it's gotten, and they know – now they'll know about its physiology, right? Therefore, then they have a better idea of what to use for tranquilization. And so they could do a thing where they would be able to get something on it, get some hair sample – you know, like I said, like the grays do with us. You know, they hair samples, blood samples, but just a temporary thing.
Their tracking device is they put up our anus, but other than that, it's exactly the same.
Wait a minute. Maybe that's the thing. And then again, that would have to be something where those who did that, and maybe it is a government thing. I'm not a big Joe paranoid government person, but that information was only kept, you know, within in a reputable circle of people because, you know, hey, by the way, I got the coordinates for that tracking device. If you want to get close to that Bigfoot type of thing. I just think you would learn so much. You'd probably be able to get photos of others in all likelihood. They would be part of a social group. And I think you've done a good thing. You've let the thing live its life and merely inconvenienced it for what, a few hours. We learn more.
So that I'm clear, you're pro the Bigfoot living. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what that's what I'm for. And definitely pro knowledge, but without having to coldly and cruelly kill one.
Brendan Clark says, have the NAWAC considered or talked about opening up shop in other regions of the states? The Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana area is a little far from me being in the Northeast. Otherwise, you would totally have me expect that. You know, the group will accept members from any part of the country or world. And at this point, we just don't have a sort of a nexus anywhere else except in that part. So I'm not going to say that, no, they would never think of that. But at this point, it's hard to imagine. Because most of our members, we do have members all over the country now, but still the nexus of them are in the four-state region.
What would I don't know if I asked you this before, Brian, on the show, but what – and I'm sure you guys have – you got a – I'm sure you've protocoled this out. But what would it take if you guys keep going back to this area and if you – let's say how many sessions going back with people and then there was no continuing – anecdotal evidence. What would it be like? Look, they've moved on.
Yeah.
Whatever. What would that? And then maybe you go back 5 years later when we have the technology where you don't have to kill one, and you just stun it. But I mean, what? I mean, I don't want any secrets revealed or anything that's you guys have. But have you guys talked about that? Like, what would it take for say, look, it's dry here.
No, we haven't talked about that. We have talked about the fact that every year you go back, it may be the case that there's no more activity. That hasn't happened yet. Especially we had that thought after, you know, the first year of what we're now calling the Ouachita Project, you know, the Operation Endurance, where there was actually, you know, Daryl shot at one. We thought, well, that's it. You know, if they're smart, they're going to get the hell out of here. They didn't. They stuck around. So but I think to your point, it would have to be something like we're there for a whole summer and not a thing happens, right? There's not a wood knock. There's not a rock on the roof. There's nothing. you know, then I think we go, well, they left. And I don't even know if it would take all summer, you know, but I think that, that if that happened, yeah, then we'd have to sort of move our reticule, so to speak. We'd have to sort of look somewhere else. And we do have a couple of other areas that are interesting. We don't have the resources to investigate. I think there was another question about that, actually, maybe from a previous show. We're not actively involved in areas the same way we are in X right now, but just because X is so hot for us that it would that we don't need to go anywhere else. But if X were suddenly gone, if either they were gone or whatever, that's okay. I think that we would move on. But we've not talked about, you know, because I don't think it's anything more than that. You know, if all of a sudden X goes cold and there's nothing there, we'd either look around that area or we'd move on to some other promising area.
Look, I got another question. I find this fascinating because I know you really, honestly, as much as anybody else I know in the in the Bigfoot field, somebody interested in it, you're very interested in scientific method.
Yes.
And so, of all the times you've been to Area X, what is the least amount of interesting things that have happened? That because again, short. Of,
yeah.
I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm remembering, and again, I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate here. The previous show when we talked, you had mentioned as far as visual, the only thing that you've seen visually, you yourself, had been two black moving objects who were going up the hill. And at the time you had said, not sure if they were bipedal, but that's what I saw. And they didn't appear to be bears to you.
Well, the first question, like if you were heading down the path, have you been there when nothing's happened?
Yeah,
absolutely. I've been there. Well, I don't know that I've been there when absolutely nothing's happened, but I've been there when essentially nothing happened. Like just this past summer, I was there in the second week, the Bravo group, the second team that went in there. And that was a very, very uneventful week. Right. We saw some orange eye shine up on the hill very briefly, but there was not a lot of activity that you could say, oh yeah, definitely, you know, the monkeys are right there. I cannot say that on that
week. Right.
And that was kind of a disappointment. I went in there 2 years ago in sort of the September timeframe, if I remember correctly. It was Team Juliet for Operation Endurance. And we had no or very, very little activity around us. We heard the pant hoot, which is something that chimpanzees do. We heard that very clearly.
Have you recorded that by any chance?
No, we didn't record that. We didn't. I mean, we were trying to clear a truck. We were trying to get a truck around a fallen tree. So we were just doing our thing. And while we were doing that is when this sound happened, and it lasted for maybe, I don't know, 15 seconds or so, maybe not even that long. So we didn't have enough time to whip out recording equipment or anything like that. I mean, if you go to the internet and do pant hoot, that's exactly, man, that's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like a freaking chimp doing a pant hoot. So, but that week, that was about it, right? I mean, nothing happened that week either that you could say with a bright line, oh yeah, that was Bigfoot. So that happens. And other teams have gone in there. Now, with regard to the things that went up the hill, because somebody mentioned this on our blog the other day, or in a post, actually it was yesterday, I think. If as I've said before, if it had just been me who saw what I saw, then I would not say that I saw a Bigfoot because I didn't have enough detail. I did not. I saw two black things going up the hill very, very fast, very smoothly. Did not appear to be moving at all like a bear. This didn't look like a bear, right? Bears move in certain ways, and these things didn't. I don't know what they were. I would not be able to say what they were. Right. But I had three other people with me who saw it at the same time I did. And of the four views, I had the least best view. You know, these other guys saw the leg scissoring. They saw it for a longer period of time. Kathy saw them before they ran up the hill. And then when we ran over to where they were, you know, my friend, the other guy who was there, saw it actually walking up on the slope between some foliage. So what I can say is, did I get a nice, clear, crisp, you know, classic view of Bigfoot? No, I did not. And I would not have said that I did wasn't for the fact that I had three other people with me who saw the legs. They saw they were bent over. You know, Mark saw it walk up on the slope. Kathy saw them before they ran up the hill, and they had much better views than I did. So it's.
Now, does Kathy still have glaucoma?
No, she does not.
Okay. Glaucoma.
Poor Kathy. She's working like a, because that was her force. You know, the rim fire Well, that was her force. She's working like a dog right now. Just
unbelievable. Oh, I know.
So much work for those crap. Guys.
Yeah. Well.
So anyway. So that was Brendan's question. How long? We've been on for an hour and a half.
Jeez Louise.
I know.
Was there anything? We got Sykes. We got any other new little.
Yeah, let me go back to our Facebook page and dig around here.
You sound thrilled, man. You sound like you want to go another good 2-3 minutes.
No, so the Brian Sykes show is on tonight. If you live in the UK, Channel 4.
Yeah.
Channel 4 is not the BBC, by the way. Channel 4 is not BBC. Sykes. It's a lot of Sykes the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Had you ever heard of the reptile people that are supposedly running the planet before? Have you ever heard of that before? That was something we brought up. This is something I asked Sharon. What is the craziest thing you know of that people believe? Like, you hear people do this and you're just like, I can't believe people believe that.
That Obamacare is the devil's work.
Okay, that's a good one.
In the realm of crypto.
Well, just anything. Any crazy ass paranormal.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. What is the totally, like, seems completely devoid of any plausibility?
I asked her, and she told me something I didn't even know existed. But there's this dude out there that totally believes that the world is run by like, humanoid reptiles. And that, like, the Queen of England is one of them. I mean, so I went to this guy's website, and I could only be there for about 45 seconds because I could feel my brain cells just being sort of sucked into the screen. But, yeah, he totally believes this. He's got books and websites and everything.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing about that, you know, insanity, craziness can sound, the tone of its voice can actually be very sane-sounding at
times.
Yeah. And in fact, a quick example, I think 4 shows ago, I was telling you guys about that film that this guy made about the film The Shining, Kubrick's film.
Yeah.
And all the film is these six different guys who have 6 theories about what Kubrick really is saying in The Shining. And you hear their voices, and they sound like they're professors. And they're all completely – like one guy – well, it's obviously he's making a case against the harsh treatment of Native Americans in the history. If you look at this shot, and it shows like a shot of an Indian head on a thing, and there's another shot of an Indian head. But it's like – and maybe one more time. And then another guy says it's obviously about the Holocaust. Look at these – I mean, using different images to make a preconceived notion appear to be true.
Right.
It's so that's what I say. Don't ever don't listen. The tone of which something comes across is not important. What is being said and what is being presented in and of itself is really the only thing.
So be skeptical.
Yeah, it's skeptical, but not cynical.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a lot. What is it? The Shakespeare line? I always forget. There are more things, Horatio, in your philosophy that are dreamt of in this earth, or whatever that he says.
Something, some combination of those words. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's weird. There is. I think that's just part of reality in our relatively puny minds. That there will be things 10 years from now, we'll look back and go, "Do you believe? Holy! I mean, 20 years ago, we were talking like the Star Trek communicators would just." Be not only a reality, but basically just everywhere and ubiquitous reality. That cell phones, which are essentially that's what it is. I mean, it's just a little device, and I can talk to somebody who's not even close to me, and there's no wire attached. What is it going to be in 10 years from now?
Right.
I'm hoping teleportation.
That would be pretty sweet.
Because I'm very lazy.
That would ruin your whole hiking thing.
That would.
No one was going to watch a film of you like teleporting from one end of a trail to the other.
Yeah. They wouldn't know it. See, what I would do is I'd strap a GoPro to a dog and then have that be the footage.
And you would just be at the beginning and end.
Yeah. Sweating. Like I'd spray my face with
This is one thing that we didn't bring up. Back on the 10th, like more than a week and a half ago, David Attenborough said that, a quote, "I believe the abominable snowman may be real. I think there may be something to that," he said. Yeah. He went on to talk about how a fossil was found with huge molars. He's talking about the Gigantopithecus.
Yeah.
So David Attenborough, you can add him to your list of people who think it's plausible.
Yeah.
He says it's not impossible that it might exist. If you have walked the Himalayas, there are these immense forests going for hundreds of miles, which could hold a Yeti. He says, if there are some still alive and you walked near their habitat, you can bet that these creatures may be aware of you, but you wouldn't be aware of them. This is David Attenborough.
David sounds like a good candidate for co-host of the Bigfoot Show.
We should get him on. He's got nothing else to do.
I hear he's a big Disney fan.
He has some experience in the field of discussing wildlife.
Yeah.
So he's probably qualified.
Yeah, and you know, again, how many times have I said this during the show? We've talked about this before, because we've always talked about it, because this
there's
is show
nothing
nine.
Else to talk about, right? Right.
Right. I think part of the battle for at least at opening someone's mind to the possibility, if not plausibility, of there being things such as Sasquatch is the name, unfortunately. You know, it's still Bigfoot, or, you know, Harry and the Hendersons, the image of a big teddy bear. It's there's just some people, man, they're just so afraid to, again, I'm not talking about believing. I mean, just opening up, just that it's possible. And they can't even go there because they're just, I don't know, they seem to be afraid for some reason.
It seems my assessment of some of the people who call themselves skeptics as well, is that they appear to be just so, you know,
I can't go there. I can't believe that. You know, right. It's almost like a parent right. yelled at them and said, don't, right. that is bullshit. You can't that, don't you? And it's like it's echoing in their subconscious or something. And again, it's not asking them to believe it. It's just like, hey, dude.
Is it plausible?
Is it possible? Plausible. Right. Really, you're saying it's impossible?
That's all I want anybody – I said it earlier in the show. It's all I – just tell me it's plausible. If you tell me it's impossible, then I cannot speak to you because you are full of shit, because it is totally, totally possible. I think the evidence is circumstantially enough to point you in that direction. You do not have to believe that the animal is real based on the evidence. But if you say that it is impossible – then we have nothing to say to each other.
Yeah, you're being unscientific.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. So I think that's about all I got.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Melba. Before that, it was all Melba Ketchum because she went crazy on the world and everyone listened to her for a while.
What if, like, somebody posted this. This was a good thing. It's okay, man. Just like 2 minutes.
What?
Come on.
What? No. You're going to say, what if she's right?
No. Well, this is a really interesting possibility, I think, is... Yeah, I think everybody agrees that, and all the evidence seems to indicate that the science used via Melba and her crew has been horrific. It's been bad. She's using, you know, the Galileo argument. Well, I'm just
And she's a woman.
It's just the, you know,
women.
But it. What if it is true that
the lemur thing?
No, not lemur. No. What I'm saying, but what if it turns out that. If they get a sample of a Sasquatch hair or sample tissue, whatever, and it turns out it is, this is a hybrid with a human. Possible.
I don't know if it's possible or not. I don't know. I mean, if.
Yeah. I mean, I know we like to look because they're covered with hair, but that doesn't. Yeah, have you seen my Uncle Ted? Have you seen him?
Yeah, but you know, we're extraordinarily closely related to all kinds of primates we can't breed with. So how would these things. How do you imagine a hybrid, a human hybrid, would come about? I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough to be able to tell you that that's impossible, but it really sounds impossible to me. So I don't know.
Here's what I would – why it doesn't sound wildly implausible to me. I would say I'm on the fence plausible. And the simple is, look, we know that we bred with Neanderthals. Homo sapiens bred with Neanderthals.
Yep.
And, you know, that was thought of. That could never be. So I think it's just an interesting possibility that should be.
But Neanderthals, again, I get back to sort of the appearance thing. They didn't look wildly different from us. They weren't 3 feet tall.
Have you seen my Uncle Ted?
They were more or less, you know, sort of human-y looking. And so they were super closely related, which is the only reason why we could breed with them. I don't know. I have a hard time imagining that an animal that looks like that is so close to us that we could do it.
And just one last thing. I was thinking that this just is
not that someone wouldn't want to do it. The internet's full of weirdos. Somebody would want to do it.
But it's like, I guess it's just showing my ignorance of scientific classification. So, I mean, Homo sapiens is a species, correct? And Neanderthal is a species. So I always assume, well, there can't be interspecies. Yes, of course there is, because we have mules and a mule and a horse as a burro. So.
But that's the other thing. A lot of times these hybrids can't breed, which, again, it's a question I don't know the answer to. I mean, I'm just not the guy to answer it.
No, I just think it's a fascinating possibility. Sure. Which means if that was true and a human bred with a Bigfoot, that they would live, and then they couldn't breed, so they would be
potentially.
So maybe,
potentially.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
I'm ready for lunch.
We're kind of out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking through our thing, and it's all Melba going back for quite a ways. Finding Bigfoot's back on the 10th of November. Are you excited? Are you going to watch it every episode?
I think I've watched 2-3 episodes. That was about enough. I watched it's just
super repetitive now. I mean, God bless them, right?
We're always repetitive.
Super repetitive. It's the same thing every single time.
Let's build up some anticipation. Go to the commercial, then reveal it's inconclusive at the end.
I don't know how they can, and I don't know how they can make it different, right? I you know, all these shows like that, you know, the Ghost Hunter show, which has been around for a million years. I think it's like the longest running show on Sci-Fi now. The they just got picked up for another season. That show is just ridiculously repetitive. I don't know. I don't know how you fix that.
You know, given the people involved, I don't know if truth is really that big of a concern. That's all I'm saying. And having worked in TV.
Right. That's not the point. Yeah, the point is just to kick out more of them and get paid to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if maybe we happen to find one along the way, then that's great. But I don't. And Bob was entertaining. You know, he's, but it's just, I don't know. Yeah. That show was done after the first episode, I thought. I just thought it was, guess what's going to happen in every episode. What is it? Chevrolet offers its new. They come back and then they have to repeat the 2 minutes that we just saw hyped up. It's not again.
All right, cool.
All right, man. It's a good show. Good throwback. Good night.
I got nothing else. I would say to if you get the show from iTunes, these are things I need to say at the end of every show now so I don't forget. If you get the show from iTunes, please subscribe. Please rate and review the show. That helps people find it. Don't forget that we have a blog, thebigfootshow.com. Of course, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/thebigfootshow.
I've been in the thicket, dude.
No, I'm not going to call it that. Maybe I will. I don't know. Also, we're on the Twitter.
We are?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
Yeah. And then we have
everywhere.
Yeah, we are. Get on there. Get on there and tweet.
All right. That's it. We're done.
Bye.
Bye.